Devonshire. And, more remarkable than either accomplishment, somehow in the chaos and mess she'd discovered who she was. Not a girl of the streets, though that was where she'd been raised, not a woman of the court, though she appreciated the beauty and grace of the balls. Someone else. Someone she liked. The servant reread Ellen's card, growing pale. He looked up. Ellen met the man's eyes, then gave a small nod as if to say, "Yes, I'm afraid that it's true." The servant cleared his throat, and Ellen led Vin into the ballroom. "High Emperor Lord Ellen Venture," the servant announced in a clear voice, "and the Empress Vin Venture, heir of the survivor, hero of ages." The entire ballroom grew suddenly and unnaturally quiet. Vin and Ellen paused at the front of the room, giving the gathered nobility a chance to see them. It appeared that Keep Oriel's grand main hall, like Keep Venture's, was also its ballroom. However, instead of being tall with a broad arched roof, this room had a relatively low ceiling and small, intricate designs in the stonework. It was as if the architect had tried for beauty on a delicate scale, rather than an imposing one. The entire chamber was crafted from white marble of various shades. While it was large enough to hold hundreds of people, plus a dance floor and tables, it still felt intimate. The room was divided by rows of ornamental marble pillars, and it was further partitioned with large stained glass panels that ran from floor to ceiling. Vin was impressed. Most keeps in Luthadel left their stained glass to the perimeter walls, so they could be lit from outside. While this keep did have some of those, she quickly realized that the true masterpieces had been placed here, freestanding inside the ballroom, where they could be admired from both sides. "By the Lord Ruler," Ellen whispered, scanning the gathered crowd. "They really do think they can just ignore the rest of the world, don't they?" Gold, silver, bronze, and brass sparkled upon figures in brilliant ball gowns and sharp gentlemen's suits. The men generally wore dark clothing, and the women generally wore colors. A group of musicians played strings in a far corner, their music unimpeded by the shocked atmosphere. Servants waited, uncertain, bearing drinks and foods. "Yes," Vin whispered, "we should move out of the doorway. When the guards come, we'll want to be mingled in the crowd to make the soldiers uncertain if they want to attack." Ellen smiled, and she knew he was remarking to himself about her tendency to keep her back from being exposed. However, she also knew that he realized she was right. They walked down the short set of marble steps, joining the party. Ska might have shied away from such a dangerous couple, but Vin and Ellen wore the costume of noble propriety. The aristocracy of the Final Empire were quite adept at playing pretend, and when they were uncertain how to behave, they fell back on the old standard, proper manners. Lords and ladies bowed and curtsied, acting as if the Emperor and Empress's attendance had been completely expected. Vin let Ellen take the lead, as he had far more experience than she with matters of court. He nodded to those they passed, displaying just the right amount of self-assurance. Behind, guards finally arrived at the doors. They stopped, however, obviously wary about disturbing the party. "There," Vin said, nodding to their left. Through a stained glass partition, she could make out a figure sitting at an elevated table. "I see him," Ellen said, leading her around the glass and giving Vin her first sight of Aradan Yeoman, king of the Western Dominance. He was younger than she'd expected, perhaps as young as Ellen. Round-faced, with serious eyes, Yeoman had his head shaved bald, after the manner of obligators. His dark gray robes were a mark of his station, as were the complicated patterns of tattoos around his eyes, which proclaimed him a very high-ranking member of the Canton of Resource. Yeoman stood up as Vin and Ellen approached. He looked utterly dumbfounded. Behind, the soldiers had begun to carefully work their way into the room. Ellen paused a distance from the high table, with its white cloth and pure crystal place settings. He met Yeoman's gaze, the other guests so quiet that Vin guessed most were holding their breaths. Vin checked her metal reserves, turning slightly, keeping an eye on the guards. Then, from the corner of her eye, she saw Yeoman raise his hand and subtly wave the guards back. Chatter began in the room almost immediately. Yeoman sat back down, looking troubled, and did not return to his meal. Vin looked up at Elland.
"Well," she whispered, "we're in. What now?"
"I need to talk to Yeoman," Elland said. "But I'd like to wait a little bit first, give him a chance to get used to our presence."
"Then we should mingle."
"Split up. We can cover more nobility that way."
Vin hesitated.
"I can protect myself, Vin," Elland said, smiling. "I promise."
"All right,"
Vin nodded, though that wasn't the only reason she'd paused.
"Talk to as many people as you can," Elland said. "We are here to shatter this people's image of safety. After all, we just proved that Yeoman can't keep us out of Fadrick's, and we're showing that we're so unthreatened by him that we'll waltz into a ball that he's attending. Once we've made a bit of a stir, I'll talk to their king, and they'll all be certain to listen in."
Vin nodded.
"When you mingle, watch for people who look like they might be willing to support us against the current government. Slowswift implied that there are some in the city who aren't pleased with the way their king is handling things."
Elland nodded, kissed her cheek, and then she was alone. Vin stood in her beautiful gown, feeling a moment of shock. Over the last 2 years, she'd explicitly worked to keep herself out of situations where she would wear gowns and mingle with nobility. She'd determinedly worn trousers and shirts, making it her self-appointed duty to sow discomfort in those she found too full of themselves. Yet she had been the one to suggest this infiltration to Elland. Why? Why put herself back in this position? She wasn't displeased with who she was. She didn't need to prove anything by putting on another silly gown and making courtly conversation with a bunch of nobility she didn't know. Did she?
No use fidgeting about it now, Vin thought, scanning the crowd.
Noble balls in Luthadel, and she could only assume here, were very polite affairs, designed to encourage mingling and therefore facilitate political give and take. Balls had once been the main form of sport for the nobility, who had lived privileged lives.